8:34 in the morning here on Upfront. I'm Kat Brooks.
And I'm Brian Edwards-Teague. We're going to take a look at federal policy right now. A new set of rules from the Trump administration hits the Federal Register today. They will take effect in October. Radically expanding the public charge category that is used to make immigrants ineligible for green cards, for permanent residency, because they use public services or are considered by the government likely to use them in the future. Two issues here. One is possibly disqualifying a lot of people from a path to citizenship. The second is making people afraid to take advantage of things like Medicaid that right. would get them life-saving health care. We're going to start with a report from Christopher Martinez. In a few minutes, we're going to have on a policy expert from Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund to talk about who's getting impacted and who's pushing for these changes inside the Trump administration. Let's start with Christopher.
Up to 2 million children could lose health coverage under a new Trump administration rule on how public benefits are counted in a public charge immigration rule. Acting Citizenship and Immigration Services Director Ken Cuccinelli announced the new rule Monday.
Through the public charge rule, President Trump's administration is reinforcing the ideals of self-sufficiency and personal responsibility, ensuring that immigrants are able to support themselves and become successful here in America.
The proposed rule goes beyond the Trump administration's past attacks on undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers. The new rule affects legal immigrants, known as lawful permanent residents or green card holders, and people who seek entry under family reunification. Current immigration law limits the use of federal cash benefits for those immigrants in order to keep them from becoming a public charge by relying on the government. But the new rule goes far beyond past public charge rules, expanding the list of public charge benefits to include things like non-emergency health care under Medicaid, children's nutrition under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or food stamps, and some housing assistance programs. Gita Schwartz is senior staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. She says the new rule is a radical rewriting of immigration law without the participation of Congress that upends decades of precedent.
You know, self-sufficiency, presumably meaning no help from anyone at all, has never been the standard immigration law. That is not what public charge means. And it's not really a survivable human concept. All of us are going to die, most of us from illness. Most of us will depend on other people. And it's simply an impossible burden to give to immigrants that they not be vulnerable to any of life's vicissitudes and any of the random things that can happen to people when they're just living their lives.
Immigrant and civil rights groups have been quick to blast the new public charge rules. The National Immigration Law Center calls the move a cruel step toward weaponizing programs that are intended to help people by making them, instead, a means of separating families. The Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, or CHIRLA, says the rule change underscores the clear objective of the Trump administration's white, nativist, xenophobic agenda, keep all immigrants out. California leaders have also weighed in against the new rule. Governor Gavin Newsom calls it a reckless policy that targets the health and well-being of immigrant families and communities of color. State Attorney General Javier Becerra calls it a vile rule that will harm communities, schools, and workplaces by, in his words, weaponizing essential health care, housing, and nutrition programs. Many service providers fear the rule will lead to more immigrants refusing vital services they or their families need. Schwartz of the Center for Constitutional Rights says many immigrants do not actually fall under the new rule, but will still be affected.
But so many people have been so terrorized by this administration's pattern of targeting immigrant communities, particularly and really explicitly immigrant communities of color, that people who are not going to be impacted by the rule when seeking immigration status are going to withdraw from benefits access. We've heard stories of lawyers getting questions whether they should take their child out of the school lunch program, even though their child is a U.S. citizen who wouldn't be impacted by this. There's been some documented studies of significant increases in people withdrawing from benefits or failing to re-enroll for benefits in the lead up to this rule already. And so we have every expectation that that chilling effect is unfortunately going to continue and get worse as this rule is published.
The new policy is scheduled to take effect on October 15th. The National Immigration Law Center has announced it plans to sue to block the new rule, and State Attorney General Becerra says we are ready to take legal action to protect the rights of all Californians. The Service Employees International Union looks even farther down the line, vowing to take every possible action, including, it says, electing a new president and Senate in 2020. Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
We're joined now live by Andrea Centeno, D.C. Regional Counsel with the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, or MALDEF. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Could you start by kind of walking us through who will be directly impacted by the rule changes?
Certainly. There are a few groups of people who I think will be directly impacted. First and foremost, that'll obviously be people who are going to be applying for a green card. They're going to have to apply under this new structure that's within the rule that changes the types and the number of public benefit programs that'll be weighed against them as they go through the application process. But as we've seen already with reports of the chilling effect that this rule will have, there are a lot of other people who will be directly impacted just because this rule creates that fear within the community and will disincentivize people who are eligible for benefits from coming forward to receive those benefits when they need them in some sort of in fear that maybe they'll be used against them in the future, or for U.S. citizens if they're part of a family with you know, individuals who might be applying for a benefit in the future, those U.S. citizens may also be foregoing some sort of benefit for which they're eligible for and need because of the chilling effect of this rule.
And so I just want to clarify, in the first instance, when you're talking about potential green card applicants, you're talking about people who are here documented in compliance with U.S. immigration law, trying to get to a more permanent status, and people who have every right to access those programs while they're here. It's just they now have this powerful disincentive to accessing them.
That's exactly correct. Under the previous rule, you know, there were certain types of benefits that would not weigh against an applicant. Things like Medicaid, SNAP usage, certain types of housing assistance. These are benefits that are incredibly important, that are very, very necessary, and that millions of families rely on every day in order to sustain themselves and in order to build a better life for the future. And so now we see that under this new rule, many, many more people who will want to seek some sort of an adjustment of status to get their green card, who are legal immigrants who have been here for, you know, quite some time and have been building that life for themselves, won't be able to move forward with the process if they've used these benefits. And it also disincentivizes individuals who may be eligible from seeking out these services for fear that it'll penalize them in the future.
So, like, on the numbers side, does this change the number of green cards the U.S. is issuing, or does it just change the makeup of the people who are getting them?
It really changes the makeup of the people who are getting them. And this rule is in the spirit of many of the other actions that this administration has taken to really target certain communities, specifically immigrant communities of color. And so what we know is that this rule is going to make it so that really only the wealthy will be able to adjust status and get green cards versus many, many others. And it'll have a disproportionate effect on immigrants of color and a disproportionate effect on Latinos.
Speaking of Andrea Centeno, D.C. Regional Counsel with the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund. So I guess then, like, my bigger question is this. Where is it coming from? Like, who in D.C. policy circles is pushing for changing immigration policy to shift green card recipients up the income ladder? And why do they care?
So this is part of a large strategic plan by the administration and players within the White House to really change the way our immigration system works. It has largely been for over a century, you know, a family-based immigration system, one that emphasizes family unity. And what we're seeing with players in the White House, like Stephen Miller and others, is that they're pushing forward an agenda that really wants to shift away from that to what they refer as, you know, merit-based, but really it means, you know, those who a system that benefits the wealthy and that disproportionately harms immigrant communities of color. And so this is part of a strategic plan to really impact and curb legal immigration so that we have different types of immigrants who are allowed to stay and come here.
Specifically meaning immigrants from Europe, as Trump said earlier.
Correct. And I think you see that with, you know, Cuccinelli's comments this week about the poem on the Statue of Liberty. This is really a vast shift away from our country's history of immigration and our immigration laws and policies to target immigrant communities of color, because we know that the president has built his campaign and has built his administration on demonizing Latinos and demonizing communities of color.
Do you think, Andrea, that this too, and that this ruling and probably what we're going to see in the months moving forward are also part of his 2020 presidential campaign plan?
They certainly are. We know that when the president is not doing well on other issues, he always turns to immigration and always turns to demonizing immigrants and demonizing Latinos in order to score political points. And so this, you know, comes at a time in a barrage of attacks on the Latino community because he knows that it plays well with his base. And it's certainly part of his strategic plan moving into 2020.
I'm curious, well, let's start with the politics. You know, a lot of Democratic initiatives on immigration in the Obama years were kind of rooted in creating good immigrant narratives, like who is the most sympathetic class of immigrants we can try to make progress for? And that was the Dreamers, kids who were brought here young, not of their own volition, who wanted an education, wanted a piece of the American dream. Do you think by kind of separating out good immigrants from the rest of the pack, that kind of politics laid the foundation for this kind of backlash?
And good immigrants in air quotes.
Yeah.
There's always, so the shift, the line between good immigrants and bad immigrants is very much a problematic one because we know that there are plenty of people who have certain barriers and challenges to their ability to go to school or their ability to seek work. And yet, you know, we have a system where we try to prop up the unification of families and ensuring that families can stay together. And so, you know, the good immigrant narrative is very much unhelpful when we're talking about the larger discussion about immigration that we need to have to fix some of the more structural problems that we have. And that has really gone, you know, through the roof on steroids, as we see in this administration, because of the administration and because of the president's constant use of hateful rhetoric that demonizes people of color and paints all immigrants with a broad brush as dangerous people, which we know is simply not true.
The second question is, like, within Republican circles, is there a pragmatic long-term electoral strategy behind this? Like, do they think by shifting green card recipients, which are people who will eventually be eligible for nationalization, by shifting that towards people of more means, they are bringing more Republicans and fewer Democrats into the American electorate?
That's certainly a possibility, but what's more important here is that the Latino community, the Latino population in the United States is exponentially growing and is already the largest minority population in the U.S. We're a disproportionately young population, which means that every year we have many, many people aging into the right to vote. And so in terms of looking at a long-term voter base and the policies that need to drive forward immigration, education, you know, employment, et cetera, all the things that we all care about, it's important to look at what the voter base is going to look like in two, three, four generations from now, and is going to get very, very, very Latino very quickly.
I'm reaching a little bit here, maybe. In this context of white supremacist national violence narrative that's coming from that demographic of society, is this, air quotes again, fear about the white race being disappeared.
Replaced is their language now.
Replaced.
Tucker Carlson's language, at least.
Policies like this play to that part of the Trump's base as well. Don't you think, Andrea? Because we're talking about less immigrants of color able to be or come to this country, remain in this country.
That's definitely true. And this is, you know, what he is very good at in terms of weaponizing words and using policies to really paint Latinos, to paint other communities of color, to paint, you know, non-white individuals in the United States as the other. And what that really does is foment and increase the use of hate rhetoric. And we're seeing that with the rise of white supremacy and the rise of, you know, race-based violence across the country. And so it has a very damaging effect on our communities. And the policy that he is driving forward with the public charge goes hand in hand with the hateful rhetoric that he uses every day.
Andrea Centeno, I'm curious what the path forward looks like. Like, what will be the basis of the legal challenges to this rule change?
Well, there will certainly be legal challenges on, you know, I'm certain there will be challenges to the process itself and to the fact that they are changing this.
So that would be like Administrative Procedures Act?
There may be Administrative Procedures Act, and I would imagine that there would be constitutional challenges. We know that the administration often uses policies, and the basis for the, you know, the driving factor for the policies that it puts forward is to discriminate against people of color, and to discriminate based on race or national origin. And so I would imagine that there would also be constitutional challenges to the rule, because we know that it's going to disproportionately target Latinos and disproportionately target non-white immigrants.
So this is not the first time that the federal government has tinkered with the public charge definition. It started out as two words a century and a half ago on the federal books. It's now about 850 pages of rules. Have expansions of the public charge definition, have they been successfully challenged in court before?
I can't speak to whether they have before, but I think what's important to remember here is that with this administration, even the routine becomes unique because of the motivations behind the people who are putting forward these policies and the justifications that they're providing. And so I think it will certainly be important that we look to the creators, the decision makers of this current public charge policy and what was their motivation for putting this forward. Certainly there is plenty of evidence that the administration, people within the White House and around the White House hold, you know, racial animus against certain communities. And that'll definitely be important here.
All right. Andrea Centeno, thank you so much for taking time to speak to us.
Thank you for having me.
Andrea Centeno is the D.C. Regional Counsel with MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund. And again, what we're discussing is a new federal rule that hit the books, the Federal Register today, takes effect October 15th, dramatically expanding the definition of a public charge. And what it does is creates an immense new obstacle to people who are here in compliance with immigration law seeking green cards. If they have used, or in the estimation of the federal government, are likely in the future to make use of federal programs like Section 8 housing assistance, supplemental nutritional assistance, that's what we colloquially call food stamps, or life-saving health care in the form of Medicaid, which we call Medi-Cal here in California. And I should kind of footnote it by saying these are people who, if they are already here with documents and working, are paying taxes into the systems that provide all those programs that they now have a powerful, powerful disincentive not to take advantage of.
I know that he's not listening to our show, but I do.
you don't know that for sure.
No, I'm pretty sure Ken, I'm going to say his name right, Cuccinelli, the Trump immigration official who rewrote the poem on the Statue of Liberty, who says that the Statue of Liberty was about immigrants from Europe. Ken, I just need you to know that actually the Statue of Liberty was a gift to celebrate freed slaves. Mm. And that actually, it wasn't, the immigration station didn't even open until 6 years later. Mm. And so the Statue of Liberty has always been about beating back white supremacist policy in this country. So check yourself.
If you look under the hem of her robe, there is a broken chain around one of her ankles.
Yep. And in the new museum, the chains are actually on display. Mm.